from 2:8. Is that correct? Has anyone checked that? Because I'm often wrong. Is that right, Jenny? 1129. 1129 in your pew Bibles. Thanks, Jenny.
Our reading comes from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. And this can be found on page 1129. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Jenny. Let's pray for Jane, who's going to open up God's word for us this morning. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you don't leave us groping around in the darkness, but you reveal yourself to your children through your word, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for Jane. We thank you for her faithfulness to you and her desire to serve your church. And so we pray that as she speaks to us today, Lord, as she brings together all the things that you have spoken to her, may we hear them, may our hearts be open, may our ears be open, and Lord, may we not leave this place unchanged, but know what you would have us know, that we might continue to grow as your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. I haven't got any jokes this morning, I'm afraid. I don't know whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I did hear the story of a mother who was teaching her young son about the Ten Commandments. And they reached the second commandment, which is, you shall not make for yourself any idol. And the boy responded, well, that's okay, isn't it? We don't make idols, do we? Was he right? We might not carve out models and bow down to them, but that doesn't mean that there aren't idols in our lives. Today's catechism question is, what is idolatry? And as we answer that question, I hope we'll see what might be the idols in our own lives. The dictionary defines idolatry as excessive devotion to or reverence for some person or thing. Our reading from Romans this morning gave us an insight into the biblical definition of idolatry and what God's reaction is to it. And the first verse of that passage pointed out God's reaction. The wrath of God is being revealed. Now, Paul launched straight in there with God's wrath before he'd even identified what was the cause of the wrath. All sin causes God's anger. But Paul goes on in this passage to describe the root of much of our sin. God has revealed himself in creation, and those who have open eyes and hearts and minds will see him. But the presence of sin and evil in the world stops people recognizing God. So instead of turning to God in worship and thanks, Verse 21 describes humans' attitude. For although they knew God, they should have been able to see God in the world, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. And verse 23 goes on, they exchanged the glory of God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Once mankind had made that choice, God allowed them to go their own way, which led into sexual impurity. And that ultimately brings about depravity, damaged relationships, and a breakdown in society. Look at the world around us. We can see that going on. That failure to put God first means that we can't have the lives that God intended for us now, and that we'll be eternally separated from God. Romans 1:25 says, they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. That is idolatry, putting anything else in God's place. And God makes it clear right through the Bible that idolatry is a sin and has consequences. In Exodus 22, God says, whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord must be destroyed. Putting anything before God has consequences. Jeremiah, talking about the destruction of Israel, says, have you not brought this on yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God? The nation was destroyed because they'd turned from God. And Jonah says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Trusting in an idol, trusting in anything else, is turning away from God. We know that the second commandment forbids the making of idols, but idolatry breaks the first commandment, which is, you shall have no other gods before me. And Paul says that God's response to the breaking of these commandments is wrath. We might find it hard to think of a loving God getting angry, you know, especially as Jesus said that anger is as bad as murdering someone. But God's wrath is against sin and the hurt that it causes. As our reading said, God's wrath is against godlessness and wickedness. So what is it about turning to created things that particularly causes God's wrath? You know, we might imagine God acting like a child whose friend has decided to go off and play with someone else, getting upset. But God's anger is not because he's been hurt, but because of the damage that he knows sin does to us and to our relationships. God's wrath is not like we might get angry, an emotional, angry outburst, but it's a right opposition to evil and the hurt that it causes. God doesn't need us to worship him or pay attention to him for his benefit, but he knows that it's what's best for us. We were created to glorify God and to serve him. And if we're not doing this, we can't find true satisfaction in life. And more than that, we become separated from God, now and eternally. By not putting God first, we hurt ourselves. And that's what causes God's anger. It's because he loves us so much that God hates our idolatry. God punishes that sin now by allowing mankind to live as they choose and suffer the consequences of idolatry. God will punish the sin in eternity at the final judgment. But God has also provided the way for us to escape the judgment and punishment. by sending Jesus to die for us. God shows his wrath against the sin of idolatry, but he also shows his great love for us, his children, by giving us a way to escape his wrath if we put our trust in Jesus. As we've been going through the New City Catechism over the last few weeks, we've considered God's law and our inability to keep that law because of sin. Last week we learnt that sin is rejecting and ignoring God. I think this happens most often through idolatry, because idolatry is letting anything else take God's place. The Catechism defines idolatry as trusting in created things rather than the Creator. Or it expands it and goes further and says, idolatry is trusting in created things rather than the Creator for our hope and happiness, for significance and security. So what makes you happy? Do you think you could still feel happy if that thing was taken away? What makes you feel safe? Could you still feel safe and secure if it wasn't there? What gives you your significance? Would you still feel valued if you didn't have it? These are all things that we should be trusting God for. But too often, we look to possessions or people to satisfy those needs. And it's not wrong to have things that make us happy or people who make us feel loved. These are good, God-given gifts. It's a normal thing to desire the gifts that God has given us. But knowing and serving God should be our greatest desire. It's allowing the other things to become so important that they take God's place that causes a problem. Our attitude to them can become an idol. An idol is anything or person that is loved more than God, wanted more than God, enjoyed more than God. It could be success, our appearance, hobbies, family, approval. The list goes on and on. Verse 25 in our reading said they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. The truth is that God loves us and supplies all that we need. The lie that we choose to believe is that anything else could satisfy that desire. The problem comes because we forget the giver and instead worship the gift. We rely on the gift itself to give us happiness or security. If we don't acknowledge that all things come from God and are to be used for his glory, then those things quickly become our gods. Even though we might not realise it, we start to give other things the time and attention that should belong to God. We start to worship them. We were created to be worshippers, and if we don't focus that worship on God, then something else will fill the space. Everyone will worship something, but only God can give us back what we need. When we worship God, we'll receive joy, hope, and peace. But idols can't supply this. They'll take our time, our energy, our resources, but they'll never give back, and they don't have the power to save and help us. Only God can supply what we truly need. Our sinful human nature leads us to turn to self-made idols. And we can't serve God if we're concentrating on other things. Matthew's gospel tells us, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money." Jesus was talking particularly about money, but it applies to anything. You cannot serve both God and... I was going to put up a list of things that might fill that blank, but the list is unending. It's easier to say, we can't serve God and anything that's not God. So we can see we've got a problem. We're drawn to idols, and that draws us away from God. But what can we do about it? First, we need to recognise the potential idols in our lives. And that's easier said than done. One way to discover our idols might be to ask, what would make us angry if it was taken away? Think about that for a moment. This can reveal the things that we're holding on to too tightly. Or consider what you daydream about. What fills your thoughts if you just let your mind wander? The thing that preoccupies our thinking is most likely to be the thing that we're making most important in our lives. What takes up your time, your energy, your resources? What you're spending your time on, whatever you're focusing on most, could be becoming an idol. Timothy Keller says in his book Counterfeit Gods, "An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. And anything that you seek to give you what only God can give." Is there anything in your life that might fit that description? When we have admitted that there are idols, we need to repent and remove them so that God can have his proper place in our lives. We have to let love for the idol be replaced by love for God. If we really understood God's nature, if we really knew his power, his authority, his love, and if we really appreciated all that he has done for us, then we can't do anything except worship him above all other things. So we need to get to know God more. Then love for God will drive out love for idols. You might remember we used to sing a chorus, "Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me." Or this morning we sang, "My hope is built on nothing less, and I wholly trust in Jesus' name." We might sing those words, but can you confidently say that? Do you trust that God is enough in every situation? Our question today was, what is idolatry? And the Catechism told us, idolatry is trusting in created things rather than the Creator for our hope and happiness, our significance and security. Idolatry is sin, because it's turning away from God, and that brings God's judgment and wrath. The good news is that God, because he loves us so much, sent Jesus to take our punishment by dying on the cross and to pay the price for our sin. That rescue is the thing that we need most, and no idol, nothing else, can supply that need. More than that, God has promised to give us everything that we need because he knows our needs. Only God can rescue and save us, and only God is worthy of all our praise. Knowing God and trusting in him for all that we need will help us to avoid idolatry, and it will keep God in his rightful place as Lord over our lives. Amen.